الله أكبر الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم وميثاقه الذي واثقكم به إذ قلتم سمعنا وأطعنا واتقوا الله إن الله عليم بذات الصدور. The second installment of the series of khutbas, khutb Bay'at al-Aqaba. I will talk today about the first article of the Bay'ah. And before I do, a quick reminder. This is the seasonal illness period of the year. You are not only recommended, but you are obligated, if you are feeling ill, not to come to a masjid and not to come to Jumu'ah specifically. This is within the books of fiqh, and it's agreed upon within the four schools of jurisprudence. So it doesn't matter what madhab you follow or which sheikh you listen to. When you are ill, and what you are ill with has the potential of being contagious, then you stay home. And the ajr for you to pray dhuhr at home is more than coming to a masjid, bringing your illness and causing people to get sick. And after maybe 2 or 3 years of going through COVID and the nightmare of having masajid closed down and not being able to pray appropriately and everyone standing a couple of meters away from everybody else with masks on, we want to do our best, and we should, as Muslims, do our best to follow these regulations that our deen has within them. This is not something that, what I'm telling you, predates by 1,000 years what exactly came out from the health team and within the city and within the province or within the country or globally. One of the well-known valid excuses for not attending Jumu'ah is just being ill. And this is something that we should just keep in mind. Another one is make sure when you're coming for Jumu'ah and sitting in this space specifically, I talked about this last week, I'll talk about it again this week, is that you have to make sure that we keep no spaces open. Because we do have a space that's up front and another one that is disconnected. And for it to be valid for the brothers and sisters who pray over there, then this space that's in front of me has to be packed. So we have to make sure that we don't leave any spaces. And if we can open spaces for brothers who are coming in, then we should definitely do that. And that's the obligation that we all carry. Last week, I talked to you about the concept of bay'ah and what it meant for the Prophet ﷺ to offer bay'at al-aqaba and why that was important. And I shared with you the idea that unless we perform bay'at al-aqaba with the Prophet ﷺ as the Ansar did, then he will not enter our lives ﷺ the way we want him to enter our lives ﷺ. And the symbolism here, inshallah, is clear to you as you listen to me talk about this. I'm not talking about something mystic or insane. I'm just talking about the symbolism of having him in our lives, not physically, but spiritually, with the legacy that he left ﷺ, that closeness, that love. If you want that in your life, if you want him ﷺ to bring to you that which he brought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have to do exactly what the Ansar did on that day. They came to him and they offered their pledge. And when they offered that pledge, when they did, he came to their city, alayhi salatu wasalam. He lived and he passed away there, alayhi salatu wasalam, was buried there, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, ajma'in. And I see within that a certain degree of symbolism. I zoom out and I see something beautiful. And I believe that it's one of the issues that we as Muslims today have to talk about and have to have clarity upon. We are obligated to offer our pledge to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Even though he may not be here today, but we offer that pledge. And what is the pledge? There are 5 articles. Each khutbah for the next 5 weeks is going to share with you one. I may have a khutbah 2 weeks where I share the same one if it's big enough. The first article that the Prophet ﷺ asked of them that night when they met that last night of Mina, right beside Jamrat al-Aqaba, when he stood ﷺ with al-Abbas and he had in front of him 72 of the Ansar from al-Khazraj and from al-Aus, men and women. He asked them, alayhi salatu wasalam, when they all quieted down and wanted to listen to him. They all quieted down and wanted to hear him, alayhi salatu wasalam, because Abbas spoke and was a little bit harsh with them. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, khudh li nafsika wa li rabbika ma arat. Take for yourself and for your Lord that which you want. We want to hear him. We want to hear you, Ya Rasulullah. So everyone quieted down and listened to him. So the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, hamid Allah wa athna alayhi. And then he said, فَإِنِّي أَطْلُبُ مِنْكُمْ أُطَالِبُكُمْ بِخَمْسِ. I have 5 things to ask of you. Number one, السَّمْعُ وَالطَّاعَةُ فِي الْمَنْشَطِ وَالْمَكْرَهِ, which is what we're going to talk about today. I ask for سَمْعُ and طَاعَةُ. What does manshat and makrah mean? Manshat is when you're feeling it, literally, when you're feeling it, when you're, and makrah when you're not. Manshat when you're feeling enthusiastic, you're energetic, you agree with it all, it makes perfect sense to you, and makrah when that's not the case. When you're like, I don't know, I'm tired, I'm upset, I'm busy, I'm stressed, I'm poor, I'm sick. This is too difficult. I don't know if it's the right move for me. Is-sam' wa-ta'ah. Learning and fellowship and learning, or however you want to put it together. Adherence. Sam' wa-ta'ah, adherence. Whether it's something whether you like it or you don't, whether you agree with it or you don't, whether this is a part of your long-term plan or it isn't, whether you can make sense of it or you can't, because you don't come and start making sense of Islam when the Prophet ﷺ is giving commands. I'm sorry. You make sense of Islam before that. You step out and you look at the universe around you and you study history and you study creation and you come to the conclusion of La ilaha illallah. And then you look at the basic fundamentals of prophecies and what the Prophet ﷺ brought in his book. And then you come to the conclusion of Muhammad Rasul. And when you do that, it's sam' wa ta'ah from that moment forward. It's sam' wa ta'ah from that moment forward. You don't start coming and questioning Islam in the secondary or tertiary commands that exist within the deen. No, that's not the time for you to go and reflect. You reflect before that. You reflect on the existence and the oneness of la ilaha of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You come to that conclusion with certainty through looking at yourself and history and the universe and creation, and then you come to the certainty of the prophecy of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam.
You come to that clarity that he is Rasulullah alayhi salam, he is the final messenger, that this message did not break off and change the way all of the messages in history have come, have brought. No, it's the natural continuation of every single prophecy from Adam to Nuh alayhi salam to Musa to Isa to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajma'in. He is the inheritor of the teachings of Al-Khalil Ibrahim alayhi salam. You come to that conclusion, and then it's sama' wa ta'ah. And then it's someone, I'm fed up actually, from those who claim to be at that position, and then question everything, and then question things. This is not where you question things. This is not the point. This is not the position. You don't question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. You start before. You question the whole story from the beginning. And then when you come to clarity, then you accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's teachings. You will find wisdom, and you will find reason in everything that he commanded, but you cannot hold your adherence to finding that or not. You can't. You can't say, I'm not going to do it because I don't see the reason in it. No, this is not the relationship. What he told them, alayhi salatu wasalam, that day, is I'm coming to you. I'm not coming to you as a consultant. I'm not coming to you as a part of an advisory committee. I am not some spiritual guru that people will come. I am coming to you as a leader. I will say, I will command, and you will follow. And if that's not the case, I stay here with my plan, and I figure something out. This was the first article, Is-sama' wa-ta'ah. I am coming as a leader. I'm going to come and give orders. You're going to salli. Zakki, you're going to zakki. You're going to stop behaving like this. You're going to start doing this. You're going to listen to me. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajma'in. Because he is not coming. And this is very important. You want to give your pledge to the Prophet alayhi sallam. You give your pledge that you will sami' wa ta'ah. That you will listen. And you will accept. And you will adhere. You will learn. You will follow that which he taught alayhi sallatu wasalam. Islam does not thrive on cherry picking. It does not work that way. You can't walk in and say, I like this, and I don't like that. You can't, this is not, you know, you're not making a plate from a buffet. This is Islam. You accept all of it. You accept all of it. You come to Islam as you are. No one has the right to shame you for whatever you had in your past, or whatever you have in your present, or even whatever you have in your future. No one has the right to shame you. You come to Islam the way you are, with all of your baggage, with all of the luggage, with all of your sin and your struggles and your problems. But you come to Islam and you accept it in full. You accept it all. You accept all of it. The first command, and I've talked about this before, so many of you have heard me rant on this topic many times in the past. The first command, if you recite the Quran, if you pick up the Mus'haf, you start reading from Surah Al-Baqarah, just start from the beginning, Fatiha, Baqarah, you keep on going. The first time you'll hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, oh those who believe. The first time he addresses you directly as a follower. The first one, 141 in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la taqulu ra'ina. Don't say, can we strike a deal? Can we find a middle ground? This is too hard. Can you shave off a couple of these? Ra'ina, make it easier for us, please. Lessen the amount of commands here. Ra'ina. La taqulu ra'ina. Don't say that. Waqulu, and say, unzurna wasma'u. Say, give us time to learn and understand. Wasma'u, and then listen and accept fully. Walil kafirina adhabun alim. And those who refuse to do that, they'll be punished. من الذين هادوا يحرفون الكلمة عن مواضعه ويقولون سمعنا وعصينا واسمع غير مسمع وراعنا ليا بألسنتهم وطعنا في الدين ولو أنهم قالوا سمعنا وأطعنا واسمع وانظرنا لكان خيرا لهم وأقوم ولكن لعنهم الله بكفرهم فلا يؤمنون إلا قليلا. He tells us there are amongst the nations before you those who came and started to try and change the content of the wordings that they received from God. They started to play around with it. It was too, they didn't like it. They started to do tahrif. He started to find ways to maybe manipulate the text, make it seem like it means something different than it actually does. And they said, سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا, we have heard, but we don't accept. سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. Another verse, وَإِذَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ الطُّورَ خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ وَاسْمَعُوا. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala held a mountain over their heads, and he told them, take what we have given you with strength, with enthusiasm, and listen, وَاسْمَعُوا. قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا, we have heard, وَعَصَيْنَا, we don't accept. وَشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجِلَ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. And they took it all. They took that golden calf right into their hearts because of their kufr. Allah filled their hearts with that golden calf and the symbolism of it, obviously, because they refused. سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا وَاسْمَعْ, but you listen to us, as we told to Musa. وَاسْمَعْ وَانْظُرْنَا وَاسْمَعْ. They said سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا, واسمع غير مسمعين, meaning listen to us and we won't listen to you. ورائنا, and then give us bargains. Change things, lessen, decrease, remove. Change something is too much. ولو أنهم قالوا سمعنا وأطعنا. What they should have said is سمعنا وأطعنا. We have heard and we obey, we adhere. واسمع, but hear us out too. That's a part of this deal. I have to hear you out. You have to figure out where your struggles are and how to fix it and how to help it and how to help you get to where you want to go. We have to acknowledge that it's not always easy and that you may have a specific challenge that needs a little bit of attention. واسمع وانظرنا, and give us time. You owe it to be given time to learn and to understand and to comprehend. But had they said that, it would have been better for them. Had they said that, but they didn't. They didn't say سمعنا وأطعنا. That's what he asked for, alayhi salatu wasalam. The first thing before him, السَّمْعَ وَالطَّاعَ فِي الْمَنْشَطِ وَالْمَكْرَهِ. I need full adherence, full obedience. You need to listen. You need to follow what it is I tell you. We have to see Islam that way. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. See, a true believer, male or female, they would never allow themselves, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a decree, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave an order or a command of any sort, they would not allow themselves to have an option. Khiyara, to have an option. Yeah, maybe I do it, maybe I don't. No. A true believer wouldn't allow that for themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then that's what's going to happen. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam commanded, that is what we're going to do. No questions asked. No need. I asked the questions before. I arrived at my belief in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah a long time ago. Now I listen and I follow. I learn from him alayhi salatu wasalam. I accept his teachings and I accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that book. This is what it means to be Muslim. This is what it meant on that day. They had to accept that this is not optional. I'm not going to come and encourage you. I'm not going to say, let's see if we can. No. I'm going to come and say, do, and you'll say, sam'a wa ta'a. Sam'an wa ta'atan. I've heard, I've understood, and I will listen. Let me share with you, just so you understand that this issue, if you find it difficult, the Sahaba did as well. In the hadith in Kalashi Imam Muslim, where the Sahaba received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the last part of Surah Al-Baqarah, but they received it over time. Like, they didn't get those last three verses all at once. They came over time. The first one that we received, قَالْ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبِدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Indeed, all that which exists in the cosmos and the earth belongs to Allah. And if you show that which is in your heart, your nafs, your soul, or you hide it, Allah will hold you to it. So he will forgive whom he wills, and he will punish whom he wills, and he is omnipotent, and he does what he wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ فَشَقَّ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى الصَّحَابَةِ. The Sahaba felt that to be difficult. فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ كُلِّفْنَا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّيَامِ وَالْجِهَادِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا نُطِيقُ إِلَّا أَنَّنَا لَا نُطِيقُ هَذِهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. We have been asked to do things that we are capable of doing. صَلَاةً صِيَامٍ زَكَاةً. But this one, we can't do it. They said, لا نطيق. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا تقولوا هذا. Don't say that. أتريدون أن تكونوا مثل من أتى قبلكم قالوا سمعنا وعصينا. You want to be like the people who came before you, who said when they heard Allah's command, they said سمعنا وعصينا. We have heard and we disobey. ولكن قولوا سمعنا وأطعنا. Don't say that. Say سمعنا وأطعنا. Say we hear and we accept. What is this that you're doing? You're coming to me to tell me سمعنا وعصينا. We have heard it, but it's too difficult. What do you mean it's too difficult? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it, then you will accept it. And you'll say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. قَالْ فَلَمَّا اقْتَرَأَهَا الْقَوْمُ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. When the people, when they saw the heaviness in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's response, so they went back and they read it again. And they read it again. And then they understood that when he said, يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ, you'll be held accountable, doesn't necessarily mean what they concluded it meant. And even if it did, they still had to accept it. So they said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرَ. And they repented. They went back, we shouldn't have done that. And once they did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam the next ayah. آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The Prophet and those who believed in him have accepted and have believed in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has descended upon him. كُلٌ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. They believe in Allah and His prophets and His books and His angels, and they don't make any distinction between these prophets, and they said سمعنا وأطعنا. They said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is documenting what they said. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا. Ya Rabbi, we turn to you in seeking of forgiveness, because we'll never do it perfectly. سمعنا وأطعنا doesn't mean that you become perfect today. Doesn't mean that you stop sinning today. Doesn't mean that you're not going to make any mistakes today. No, it just means that you have committed yourself to this, that you accept it in full, that you're not arguing against any of it, that you're not going to defend yourself when you fall into sin. You're not going to try and change the deen so it fits you. You're not going to try to change Islam so it sounds better for others and it sounds better for you. You're going to accept it and you're going to acknowledge that I'm at fault, that I am 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm not doing them well. I'm going to try and be better. But I know that they're correct and I am wrong for not following them. That's what that means. سمعنا وأطعنا, that's what it means. غفرانك ربنا, يا رب, forgive us for our shortcomings. وإليك المصير, we'll turn back to you. And they were happy, the Sahaba, when they heard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledged their repentance. And then the third verse was given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, to better explain the first one. To better explain it. To make it clear, in case they heard يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِلَّا, they didn't understand. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. He explained it. Allah is not going to hold you accountable for more than you are capable of bearing. You're accountable only for within the limitations of your capacity. You're only accountable within your limitations. Now, you have to understand that when I say that, everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained in that book is within your limitations. Is within the capacity of you're capable of doing it. Now, if you say I can't, that's between you and God. And He will establish whether you were truthful when you said that or not. For example, during Siyam, if you are fasting and it's a long day, and it's summer and you're a roofer, and at 3 o'clock you feel like you're going to faint because you haven't drank water, then you can drink water. You can do that every day in Ramadan, all throughout Ramadan, and make up for the month later. But who's going to judge that you had to drink at that moment? Who's going to be the judge of that? You are. That's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My job is to tell you if the siyam is from Fajr until Maghrib. That's my job. And it's within people's capacity. If you have a specific situation where you're not capable, then you're held accountable for that between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't have the ability to come and actually objectively measure that for you. Some things are obvious. Some things are very obvious. The majority of people are capable of fasting from Maghrib, from Fajr to Maghrib, no problem. Certain specific situations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only hold you accountable within the limitations that you have. So لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت. You will be given that which you did. You'll be rewarded for it. وعليها ما اكتسبت. You'll be held accountable for that which you did as well. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. Oh our Lord, as we walk down this path of سمعنا وأطعنا, don't hold us accountable when we forget or we make mistakes. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. Oh our Lord, don't hold us to standards that are difficult, that are impossible to see, that we can't actually reach, as was done as a punishment to the people before us. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. Oh Allah, do not, oh our Lord, don't burden us with that which we cannot carry in this life. وعفو عنا, and pardon us. واغفر لنا, and forgive us. وارحمنا, and show us your compassion. أنت مولانا, you are our Lord and our caregiver. فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. Grant us victory over those who show us animosity. اللهم آمين. That is what the Sahaba learned. Some of them had to kind of be retaught what they learned on Bayat al-Aqaba, what they agreed to during Bayat al-Aqaba. They had to be reminded, you're here for Sami'na wa Ata'na. You're not here for Sami'na, but maybe we can modify this a little bit. No. We're not here to modify stuff. The reason that what's happened over the last year has happened, whether you believe this or not, is not something I can necessarily change for you. The reason that we witness what we witnessed over the last 12 months and continue to do so, and it's getting actually worse, and we're seeing the struggle enter new countries like Lebanon and Syria, and we're seeing more people die and more innocent people buried under the rubble of their own homes, and we're watching this silence continue. It's because we're an ummah that missed that first article. We're an ummah collectively. We missed the first article. We're not adhering to these things. We want to be called Ummat Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We want to be called Ummat Muhammad, but now we're not willing to offer the pledge. It's a pledge, it's an agreement. He comes to us, alayhi salatu wasalam, with the word of God. He comes to us with the legacy that will allow us to save ourselves and remove the collective human experience from difficulty, from darkness to light. He brings us that, and we offer a pledge. We offer it. We have to actually accept that in. And then first piece of acceptance is saying that we will follow this till the end. We will run with this till the bitter end. I will accept all of it without any exception to it. And when I fail, I will acknowledge my failure to accept it. And I will not rationalize it. And I will not defend it. And I will not be proud of it. And I will not make a day to celebrate it. I will for sure say this was wrong. I shouldn't have done that, but I'm doing it. But I know it's wrong. That is the first key. The first article is we have to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's haqq. All of it. All of it. There can't be, wallahi, if there is one piece of it that we are refusing, then this won't work. And we're an ummah that decided that we're going to cherry pick from our own deen. Well, see how that's worked out for us. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. إخواني وأخواتي، أول بند من بنود بيعة العقبة التي قدمها الأنصار إلى سيدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في ذلك اليوم العظيم الذي ينظر إليه من حضره على أنه أعظم عندهم وأجل قدرا من يوم بدر، وإن كان الناس يعظمون يوم الفرقان يوم التقى الجمعان، إلا أنهم الأنصار يرون عظمة بيعة العقبة لأنهم في يومها قدموا لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كلمتهم وبيعتهم والتزامهم، وتابعوا في حيواتهم على هذا المنوال حتى لقوا ربهم، فكانوا يرون عظمة ذلك اليوم. وطالبهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أول ما طالبهم بالبند الأول السمع والطاعة. السمع والطاعة هو قائدنا صلى الله عليه وسلم، هو سيدنا صلى الله عليه وسلم، هو الآمر الناهي فينا صلى الله عليه وسلم، كل أمورنا مآلها إليه عليه الصلاة والسلام، هو الميزان الأكبر الذي عليه تقاس الأمور. فما وافق رسول الله كان خيرا، وما خالف رسول الله كان شرا. وليس في ديننا خارج هذا الكلام قدر شاعرة، قدر شعرة. الإسلام هكذا يعود إلى رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. اختاره الرب العلي من فوق سبع سماوات أن يجعله صاحب هذه الرسالة، أن يجعله القدوة والأسوة والقائد فينا. فلما نكصنا على أعقابنا، ولما أدبرنا عنه عليه الصلاة والسلام، وأهملنا سنته وأهملنا معيشته، ولم ننظر إلى أخلاقه ولا إلى هديه، سقطت أمتنا سقوطا كاملا، وأصبحنا جثة هامدة، يضرب فينا عدونا من يميننا وعن شمالنا، ويضرب فينا من رأسنا من أسفلنا سنوات عجاف طوال، يموت فيها المسلمون أطفالهم ونساؤهم، وتهدم بنيانهم، وتغتصب أعراضهم، وتنتهك مقدساتهم، لأنهم أعرضوا عن هدي رسولهم وقائدهم ونبيهم صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. وإذا ما عدنا إليه، وإذا عدنا إلى ما أتى به عليه الصلاة والسلام، تتغير الأمور كما تغيرت من قبل. أنقذت هذه الأمة به عليه الصلاة والسلام، ثم لما سقطت أنقذت به مرة أخرى ومرة أخرى، وهكذا إلى قيام الساعة. ولا تعود هذه الأمة تقف على قدميها، ولا تجد لنفسها عزا إلا بالعز الذي أتاها من باب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Let me explain to you, there's a nice story, I'll end with this story. Collection of Imam Ibn Hibban with an authentic narration, where the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, it's a hadith that Imam Nawawi talks about in some degree of detail explaining it. This is also in the collection of a Muslim. And he points out, you know, the reason the Prophet ﷺ responded the way he did. So a man was sitting in front of the Prophet ﷺ eating with his left hand. So he said, ﷺ, kul bi yaminik, eat with your left hand, with your right hand, sorry. فَقَالَ لَا أَسْتَطِي, I can't. That's how he answered. Now, even if, يعني, you've never done that before, even if you're a lefty, you never ate with your right. And this is an issue by difference of opinion, by the way. I'm not here to talk about eating with your right hand. I just want to take the lesson from this hadith. You can always just eat. I could eat with my left if I needed to. You could eat, someone who's not used to eating with their right, they can if they wanted to. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, "Could be a minute, eat with your right." فَقَالَ مَا أَسْتَطِي, I can't. يَقُولُ الرَّاوِي مَا قَالَهَا إِلَّا كِبْرًا. He only said it because he felt too arrogant to listen to what was told to him. He felt like his ego was bruised when he was told to do this. فَقَالَ لَهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَاسْتَطَعْتَ, may you never be able to. قَالَ فَمَا اسْتَطَاعَ أَنْ يَرْفَعَ اللُّقْمَ إِلَى فِيهِ, he couldn't eat. He couldn't lift his arms for the entirety of that meal to eat anything. He couldn't lift either of his arms. He sat there, the Sahaba, this hadith is narrated to us by at least 8 of the Sahaba. He couldn't lift his arm to his mouth. Not the right, not the left. He couldn't eat. And the Sahaba, looking at him, he can't eat. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Nastata'at, may you never be able to." Some narrations say he could never do it after that, but I don't think that's the case. I think it was just that within that setting. And it wasn't that the Prophet alayhi salam was offended that he didn't listen. It was because of this problem of sam'a wa ta'a. When he speaks to you, alayhi salatu wasalam, he is not speaking to you as a friend. Even though he is your best friend, he's not speaking to you as an advisor. Even though he is the best mentor of all time, but when he speaks to you with the authority of the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So what is this, ala astati, I can't? That's not an answer. That's not an answer. That's not acceptable as an answer. To him, it wasn't, he didn't care out of his thoughts. If you study his seerah, you could not offend him. And people tried. People tried. His description, la yaghdabu li nafsihi. He never gets upset for himself. Never. You can't, he doesn't have a button for you to push. You can say about him whatever you want, about his family, about his parents, about his children. Doesn't make a difference to him. It doesn't harm him at all. They know that about him because we have like story after story after story of people trying to do it, sometimes voluntarily because they want to make a point, and sometimes just by mistake, and they couldn't get him mad, alayhi salatu wasalam. Some of his stories are actually mind-blowing. I don't understand how he controls himself. So why was he upset this time? It wasn't because the guy said no to him. It was because there's a problem with the way he said it. There's a problem with the comprehension. There's no such thing as I can't. Allah gave you a command. What is your response? Huh? Sami'na wa ata'na. Okay, again, Allah gave you a command. What do you say? Sami'na wa ata'na. Huh? It's a hard command. What do you say? Sami'na wa ata'na. It's an impossible command. What do you say? Sami'na wa ata'na. There's nothing else to say. There's no last. I can't. What do you mean you can't? فَقَالَ لَهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَاسْتَطَعْتْ. May you never be able to. And he couldn't eat. People were watching him. Everyone was scared because they were like, what just happened? He couldn't, yeah. صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Just a lesson for everyone there. This is not an option. You accepted Islam. This is it. You don't like this? That's لا إكراه في الدين. There's no coercion in religion. It's up to you. But if you said لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله, you owe this bay'a. You owe this pledge. You owe it. Because he's going to get, what are you getting in return? You're getting Jannah. What do you think that is? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about what Jannah is? Have you thought about what that means? Have you understood? Do you truly believe in resurrection? Have you come to that conclusion? You do? And you understand that there's punishment and there's reward? You understand how valuable an eternal reward is? You think that this deal is somehow you're losing on this deal? And you think this is a no-brainer. It's a simple deal. You're offered Jannah. And he's asking you for a couple of things, alayhi salatu wasalam. So you offer your pledge. And we start by telling him, alayhi salatu wasalam, سمعنا وأطعنا. I hope that was a benefit to you. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم احقن دماء إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم احقن دماءهم في غزة وفي فلسطين وفي لبنان وفي السودان وفي بنغلاديش وفي غيرها من بلاد الأرض يا رب العالمين ما علمنا منها وما لم نعلم اللهم اجمع هذه الأمة على كلمتي الحق والتوحيد وأبرم لها أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويتاب فيه على أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر اللهم ردنا إليك أجمعين ردا جميلا وتب علينا من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحة طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا اللهم رد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين اللهم أخرج الصهاينة منه أذلة صاغرين وارزقنا أجمعين فيه صلاة قبل الممات يا رب العالمين وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى